This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. People with disabilities continue to face a variety of challenges in Wisconsin and across the U.S. The La Crosse Human Rights Commission held a listening session last month to hear about these issues and find new ways to make La Crosse more accessible for all of its residents. Joining us today to talk about the needs of the disabled community in the Cooley region are Fabio Burgos, chair of the La Crosse Human Rights Commission, Melissa Oliver, network developer for CARE Wisconsin, and Jimmy Westlin, community outreach specialist for Riverfront. And, you know, Fabio, why is this this issue important to talk about? You know, why does the Human Rights Commission, want to reach out to the disabled community?
Well, I think we want to reach out to all of our community. And my personal view is that this is probably a community that doesn't get the spotlight that it should and frankly, has a lot more to offer than the media seems to portray in general. So I think we wanted to collaborate actually with the Disability Action Network to bring those issues to the forefront of thinking members of this community. And again, as you said, hopefully find some solutions to obstacles that are facing that community.
And we've talked about the Human Rights Commission here in La Crosse before, but do you want to just remind us a little bit about the group and, you know, what your goals are?
We actually grew out of the old Equal Opportunities Commission, which solely dealt with discrimination in housing and in access to accommodations. The City Council changed the purview of the Equal Opportunities Commission, creating a Human Rights Commission in early 2015. While we still have jurisdiction over housing complaints and complaints regarding access to facilities, we have kind of a broader mission of trying to eliminate discrimination in the community, in the city of La Crosse, I should say, which, of course, is easier said than done. So what we're engaging in now, and part of our collaboration with Dan was for this purpose, is to basically reach out to the community and find out from various groups what obstacles they feel they're seeing in the city of La Crosse, and hopefully get some ideas about how to address that, be that legislatively or in simply bringing shining light on the issues.
And, you know, you've mentioned Dan, the Disabilities Action Network. Melissa, can you tell us a little bit about that group?
Disability Action Network, DAN, as we like to call it, started working together about 18 months ago as a group of providers, including funding agencies, providers that provide services, and of course the consumers, their advocates, and many local organizations. We've come together to, as a grassroots network, aiming to create more inclusion in the environment by connecting people with disabilities and their supports within the community. So we've gotten together, we talk about the issues, talk about the concerns, and most importantly, try to come up with solutions for that. Because all the talking we can do, unless there's action with that, is just talk. And that's really why the Disability Action Network, where it's got its name, is to provide solutions.
And before creating this group, do you feel like there was a need to, in the community, to kind of connect these services together?
Absolutely. That is where the group came from, is all of us working, have some connection to people with disabilities, and that constant need and concern that we've heard throughout, you know, whatever way we reach these individuals. Either we work with them, we're related to them, we're friends with them, whoever they are, and you don't always know who they are, and we hear the concerns. And as a group, we decided we can do something with this. We're all hearing it. We're hearing the same things again. Where's the action, and how can we impact the community as a whole?
And Jimmy, you know, when we're talking about people with disabilities, I mean, that can be, you know, kind of broadly applied to people with cognitive disabilities, physical disabilities. How does Dan work to address all members of that community?
We try to meet people where they are. Each person is different. Each person has different abilities. And so we are there just to kind of be advocates and help people to learn to self-advocate no matter what their disability is. And I think the biggest thing that we do is we collaborate a bunch of different funders and providers and advocates and other organizations all collaborating. So since there's so many of us, if we don't have the answer, we have the connections to get the right answer. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things that we do. So we don't really specialize in like one person. We can help everybody.
In working to address the issues of the disabled community, you know, is that a challenge to have to make sure you're thinking about, you know, everybody involved in that community?
Definitely, because we all have our personal experiences. Our personal experiences are different. And so when we think of the disability community, we might think of our personal experiences and who we know, but we need to include everybody in the way we think. And I think that's the listening session we had was very eye-opening because we had people of all abilities there.
Yeah, and you mentioned the listening session by the Human Rights Commission that was held recently. Fabio, what were the biggest takeaways that came from that listening session?
Well, let me start by saying this was actually, while we collaborated, the Disability Action Network was really they deserve the credit. They put this on, and we were there. Some of them, our members were there to help facilitate a discussion at the tables. So our biggest takeaways are that, one, we can't paint with a broad brush. As I think both Jimmy and Melissa pointed out, there is a wide variety of abilities that we're talking about. And two, I think we were able to hear some solutions to, or some problems that maybe weren't kind of global problems in terms of we need an overarching solution, but there were just day-to-day issues that the community faces that we found that we might be able to have a relatively simple and effective solution, which won't necessarily change somebody's life in its entirety, but yet make it easier on a day-to-day basis. An example of that was there are certain streets in the city of La Crosse where the curbs, there's no wheelchair access if you're going straight across the street. Sometimes you will have to go around and into traffic, and that's certainly something that we intend to bring to the attention of the city.
And what do you think the community response has been to, both the creation of Dan and just, you know, this listening session that, you know, it seems like the city is really starting to pay attention to this community?
I would hope so. I think it's hard to gauge the reception. I thought that the turnout for that event, the Dan event, was fantastic. We've had our own listening sessions, and we're going to have another one this week. But it's hard to say. I think the problem thus far has been the people who are already invested in these issues tend to know about it. The challenge is trying to broaden, trying to hit various groups that might not be aware of even the existence of the commission, and that is a constant struggle.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about local challenges for people with disabilities. We're here with Fabio Burgos, a local lawyer and chair of the La Crosse Human Rights Commission, Melissa Oliver, a network developer at CARE Wisconsin, and Jimmy Westlin, community outreach specialist at Riverfront. And so I just want to kind of take a step back and talk about each of your organizations as well that you represent. Melissa, tell us a little bit about CARE Wisconsin.
CARE Wisconsin is a local nonprofit organization. It's a managed care organization. So what we do is connect people with disabilities that are financially eligible to services in the community, whether that be transportation, housing, supportive home care, a lot of different lawn care, meals, a lot of different resources in the community, connect them the best we can to meet their needs. And their needs, as we've been talking about, are all over the board.
What are some of the biggest challenges that you see on a day-to-day basis working with this community?
Some of the biggest challenges that were nicely highlighted in the listening session was the community conversation was really that transportation is a huge concern in the community. And Fabio had just briefly mentioned this and touched on this as well, is that unless you live and breathe this world, as I often say, you don't know this world exists. If you don't know about it, when we use these terms of the sidewalks, the average person has no idea that sidewalk actually is gearing you towards the middle of the street. because we don't notice that as someone without a disability. Transportation, I don't need special transportation, so I can get transportation anytime I want transportation. That is not something that's readily available to many people. So one of the goals that we have through the Disability Action Network and CARE Wisconsin is simply awareness of the concerns and the issues that are out there. Whether, you know, outreach and education are so essential. Talking to area civic groups, talking to area providers, talking amongst each other, to acknowledge the concerns and move forward into addressing those concerns and making it, you know, an inclusive community for all without having to label anybody.
And Jimmy, do you want to tell us a little bit about Riverfront?
Yeah, Riverfront has been in existence since 1977. We work with people with disabilities in many areas of their life. When most people think of Riverfront, they think of the building on the south side of La Crosse, but that's really only about a third of what we do. Two-thirds of what we do is actually out in the community. We have people working at many different businesses throughout the town. We have locations outside of La Crosse too, but I'll focus on La Crosse right now. When people are working at different businesses in La Crosse, you might not notice because we want to blend in. So a lot of people don't know that we do that service, which is a good thing, but it's also a bad thing because then people don't know we do that service. And then we do residential. We have two group homes with four clients in each of them. And then we have a Live By program that is really taking off now, where we have people who live on their own in La Crosse, and there's a staff that's on call for them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that lives by them, that will be there, help them if there's an emergency that's not like a 911 emergency. We have a day service program. We have a community living program. We have a new youth program. We work with youth all the way down to 3 years old now. So just many, many different things that we offer at Riverfront. Basically, if you have a need, you can come to Riverfront and we will do our best to meet it.
And yeah, and you mentioned employment as one of the things that you help address. You know, what are some of the biggest challenges for people with disabilities when seeking employment or maintaining employment?
I think the biggest challenge, like we said before, was transportation, getting to the job. I want to say, too, the MTU in La Crosse is one of the best parts about La Crosse when it comes to working with people with disabilities. So when we're saying the MTU, when we're saying transportation, we're not referring to MTU because MTU is really good at working with people with disabilities.
And that's the bus service in town.
Yes, the bus service, yes. But if you don't have access to that bus service, then that's where we have problems. People can't get to work. Sometimes they have to turn jobs down because it's not on the bus route.
Obviously, we've been talking about how transportation is a large issue. Fabio, you know, you mentioned the sidewalks as being something that you think could be easily addressed in the future. You know, what are other things that the Human Rights Commission is hoping to do to address, making transportation more accessible?
Well, that's a kind of a million-dollar question. I think the biggest thing that we can do, rather than, for example, recommending substantive legislation to the city council, is bringing awareness to this issue. As Jimmy said, and I'm going to put on my lawyer hat as well, oftentimes I'm guardian ad litem for people with disabilities who are under guardianships and protective placements. And unfortunately, sometimes those placements, which are the least restrictive and the best for certain individuals, are not close to public transportation, not close to the MTU. So we have to rely on other people, you know, basically private citizens or other private sources to transport people to jobs, to medical appointments, or simply to socialize outside of the home. So one, I think what we can do is raise awareness of these issues. One thing that just popped into my head is the issue of, you know, possibly expanding the bus service. That's certainly something that we can recommend, but ultimately we're at the mercy of the council and we're at the mercy of budgets as well.
And Melissa, you know, we've been talking about MTU as a great resource. Are there other resources for people with disabilities to gain, you know, better access to transportation?
There are several resources in the community, but I have to completely concur with what Fabio was saying, is that within the city of La Crosse, there's a lot of great resources. When you get outside the city of La Crosse, that's when it certainly begins to get a little more difficult. There's a lot of other taxi services in town that are able to help. There's the Smart Bus that's in kind of the more southern portion of the area that comes into La Crosse. There's lots of good resources. One of the bigger challenges, not only outside the city of La Crosse, but one of the challenges within the city, though, would be accessible transportation overnight hours after 7 p.m. is a huge concern. When Jimmy's talking about people getting to jobs, unless you have an 8-to-4 job, you're once again at the mercy of that transportation piece. So, well, there are a lot of really good providers out there. A lot of them tend to be centrally located within the city. And then when you get after hours or nights and weekends, basically, and outside the city, it's a bit more of a struggle.
Yeah, and Jimmy, do you feel like for people with disabilities who live in a more rural setting, you know, outside the city of La Crosse, you know, do they face different challenges than people who live within the city limits?
Definitely. I mean, just what we've kind of been with the transportation is the biggest challenge because it's not, it just, it isn't. There isn't any transportation a lot of times for people in the rural communities. So I'd say yes, for sure. I know there's been people that have worked together, not so much employment-wise, but at Riverfront. I know we have people that are like, they have people with disabilities that come to Riverfront and their families are taking turns bringing them. But that's not ideal.
Another issue that I know that people with disabilities, you know, often have to deal with is housing, and that's not always as readily available. You know, Fabio, what were some of the things that you heard regarding housing at the listening session?
To be honest, I don't know that that as much as the transportation issue made an impact on me, or that I can recall specifically. One thing I should add, and I think I mentioned it earlier, but I would like to elaborate on it, is that part of our mission is to address complaints as to discrimination in housing. And frankly, we know, or we're probably an educated guess, is that there is a lot more of that going on than is being reported. So I want to make sure that the public is aware that there are complaint forms for housing discrimination complaints that are online, the City of La Crosse website. You can also go in person to the city clerk. But again, that's part of why we're trying to collaborate with organizations so that awareness can build that that this organization, the Human Rights Commission, addresses that issue. And I would think that would be something that would be particularly applicable to those people with disabilities.
And can you give us some examples of discrimination people with disabilities might face when it comes to housing?
Well, potentially not being rented to due to their status. That is, it's one of the protected classes per the ordinance. So that is the main one, that they would either not be rented to in general or told that there's no suitable housing available when in fact there is.
You know, Melissa, as someone who, you know, works with this community, I mean, what do you see as issues with housing you know, ways that people with disabilities can gain access to housing?
In the area, accessible housing is just a lack of accessible housing. It doesn't have to be wheelchair bound to be any accessible. Sometimes it's walkers. It's just difficult with mobility, and that's very limiting. People think it's only one stair. Well, that's a lot with somebody that doesn't have that ability to maneuver that one stair. So just having basic accessible housing, and not just through the front door, but can they turn around in the rooms? Can they use the bathroom? Is the bathroom set up for someone with some sort of disability that can't maneuver as someone with more of an abled body? You know, it's all the aspect. It's thinking the whole process through. The other part with disabilities or housing concerns, is not only the accessibility, but the affordability. Affordability tends to be a definite barrier as well. They can find the affordable housing, but it's not necessarily the accessible housing. So that often puts a barrier and puts, you know, it's definitely a challenge that's out there.
You know, we're seeing some new construction in the La Crosse area. You know, do you know of if these new construction projects, whether it's apartments or whatnot, do you feel like they're taking into account, or have you heard if they're taking, you know, these accessibility issues into account?
I don't know specifically, I guess. I have had in the articles that I have read, I keep hearing market value apartments, and market value and accessible and affordable are not always synonymous in this. So I'm not sure what they're predicting or anticipating as market value.
Jimmy, Melissa brings up a great point of affordability, and that is a concern for people with disabilities, that if they're receiving some sort of, you know, assistance, that doesn't always cover all of the costs. You know, what other resources can people with disabilities access to help address that issue?
I know, like at Riverfront, we have benefits specialists that can help with people sometimes, because people, you know, I don't know if this is the route you're going, but sometimes people have to be careful how much money they make too, because some people are getting like Social Security benefits, and we will help them with that. There's different funds through foundations and different grants that people can access, but it's the hardest part is finding out where this money is. So I don't really have an answer, like a direct answer. The best place to go to is the Aging and Disability Resource Center, though. They have a lot of different opportunities there for people to learn from.
That's Jimmy Westland, Community Outreach Specialist with Riverfront, here with us today to talk about recent community conversations about accessibility for people with disabilities in La Crosse. Also joining our conversation is Fabio Burgos, Chair of the La Crosse Human Rights Commission, and Melissa Oliver, Network Developer at CARE Wisconsin. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And so, you know, we're talking about different issues that, you know, are in the La Crosse area. But, you know, Fabio, how do you think La Crosse compares to other communities in our area when it comes to, you know, being accessible and having resources for people in with disabilities?
I think in this area, I think it's certainly the, I don't know if the gold standard is the proper term, but I think there's certainly a lot more resources that can be accessed within the city of La Crosse. I think much like I think our state historically, I think La Crosse is generally a welcoming community, and it's certainly becoming more diverse and, in my opinion, more dynamic. And I think that bodes well for the future, and it bodes well for ultimately having more resources to address the issues that persons with disabilities face. So I think in general, this is within a radius of give or take 70 to 100 miles. This is really the place in this area that one is going to be able to access the most resources.
And Melissa, obviously CARE Wisconsin, you know, serves a broad area of the state. You know, how do you think La Crosse kind of compares to other communities?
La Crosse itself, being the city of, has a lot of really good resources. When you start venturing out beyond the city of La Crosse, you're simply limited, and that has to do with simply the number and what's available. Sometimes it's the money, sometimes it's money, sometimes it's just availability with jobs, with housing. And the other communities just don't have as much access to it. Throughout the entire state, I live here. I think it's a great community. I'm not going to put anyone down. I don't think anyone's doing it wrong. I certainly think there are some better ways to do things and some different ways to do things. But as long as we're all trying to do the best that we can do and make it an inclusive community, no matter where you are, I think that's going to be a win for everybody. And that's really what the focus of Disability Action Network is, as well as CARE Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you bring up a really good point of, you know, do you feel like kind of the, you know, you talked about this before of how the average person might not recognize that the sidewalks are not very accessible or pose, you know, a danger. Do you feel like in general that's the case, that people might not always be aware of all of the issues faced by the disabled community?
I think that sometimes people aren't even aware the disability community exists, let alone there's issues within that community, and that's something that we talk quite a bit about. And I'm going to say it again, I already said it once, unless you live and breathe in this world, you don't know this world exists. And that's one of the big pushes that we have, is just simply bringing in awareness. There's the group of people that have disabilities, the group of people that are encompassing and want to include, and there's the people that just turn around and don't even acknowledge. And there's all three of them are important pieces to the puzzle. We need to bring them all together and make them aware of what's going on, and that is just educational. We want to go out and get in front of people. Exactly what we're doing today is have people listening to what the concerns are, and simply being aware that they exist. You know, there's civic organizations, there's schools, that you know are inclusive, and there's a great spot to talk to people about disabilities and what that looks like in schools and all level of schools, not just post-secondary as long as all the way down to elementary, in church groups. I mean, name it. If there's a forum in which we should get in front of, we want to get in front of and talk about this, because all of us together in an inclusive community is what is going to solve the issue.
Melissa Oliver is a network developer at CARE Wisconsin and here with us today to talk about how local organizations and agencies are working to make La Crosse a more accessible community for people with disabilities. Also joining us is Fabio Burgos, chair of the La Crosse Human Rights Commission, and Jimmy Westland, community outreach specialist with Riverfront. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on the needs of the disabled community in the Coulee region. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to some of the services and programs we talked about today. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the day-to-day challenges for people with disabilities. Last month, the La Crosse Human Rights Commission hosted a listening session to hear more about what issues are important to the disabled community in our area. Joining us today to talk about issues for the disabled community are Fabio Burgos, chair of the La Crosse Human Rights Commission, Melissa Oliver, network developer at CARE Wisconsin, and Jimmy Westland, community outreach specialist with Riverfront. Before we continue our conversation on, people with disabilities, I want to just take a moment and, Fabio, ask you a question. As, someone with the Human Rights Commission here in La Crosse, obviously it's on everyone's minds the tragic shooting that took place in Orlando over the weekend. As someone who's involved with the commission, and obviously the LGBTQ community is part of the community that you're hoping to serve, what's your reaction to the tragic events that took place this weekend?
Sadness, and I might be straying into the political, but anger in the sense that this country apparently refuses to do anything regarding access to weapons that can kill, and that can kill in great numbers, and that can kill very quickly. Outside of prayers and thoughts for the victims, I guess based on what I do in terms of the Human Rights Commission, we proceed with a heavy heart, knowing what went on, and unfortunately, in this country, we are always, seems like we're waiting for the next shoe to drop, and we hope and pray that something like that does not happen in this community, or frankly, anywhere ever again.
Mm-hmm. From your perspective, how has communications between, the community in large and the LGBT community in La Crosse? I mean, is there that tension that seems to exist in other areas, or do we think that La Crosse is in a welcoming place?
I think La Crosse is a very welcoming place. I think, and it's become more so as time has gone on. Again, I think, that community can probably speak to that in with some more specificity, but my sense is we have a strong and vibrant LGBT community here in La Crosse, and that's a great thing. I would add, as far as other communities, we are becoming more and more diverse in all ways, and I think it adds something to the quality of life, frankly, in this community. So I would hope that any incidences of discrimination that any community faces become less and less. I think it it is this type of community that, you know, for even to have such a thing as a Human Rights Commission, I think speaks well of the of both Mayor Cabot and of the City Council. But again, we can do all that we can within this community. We just hope that there will not be people that come from elsewhere to you know, to cause problems and to bring heartache to members of communities that have suffered discrimination.
And another more timely topic, obviously, are decisions about managed care here in Wisconsin. And Melissa, I'll turn to you briefly for your reaction for those decisions about, you know, what the future of managed care in Wisconsin looks like.
Well, the future of managed care in Wisconsin is ever-changing. what it looks like today is not what it looked like 5 years ago or 10 years ago. What it's going to look like in 2 years is not going to look like what it looks like today. What everyone wants is people to have access to what they need, to have support, and to be healthy, because that helps everybody in the long term in this community and across the state of Wisconsin. And that's certainly what our goal is. We've been in doing managed care since 1976. We've been doing it for quite a long time, and we've been through a lot of changes within, you know, Care Wisconsin, within this community, and with the state as large. And as we continue to do the best we can to support our members, that's what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. And so obviously, you know, the decision we're talking about is the, you know, deciding to postpone making those changes to managed care. So that conversation is still, you know, kind of a question mark, I guess, about what exactly will happen. Are you optimistic that those changes will be positive?
We always assume they're going to be positive. I mean, everyone has their own interpretation of what they could potentially be. As long as our goal is to give people what they need and keep them healthy and in the long-term care setting, what is the least restrictive and the best for them, I think it only can be beneficial. And whatever that looks like, today, tomorrow, in 10 years, we really have no idea. But we can continue to advocate for the needs of the community, for the needs of the members, for everyone's needs. And that's really what we're trying to do throughout the DAN network and in Care Wisconsin, is to advocate for the needs and be positive about it. Because whatever comes, we need to deal with it and move on.
Turning back more specifically to, you know, the community, people with disabilities in that community, you know, Jimmy, what has been done in the past in La Crosse to provide more accessibility? Have we seen any previous milestones in our community that, you know, we can be proud of?
Well, I think in our community we have many different options of places like Riverfront and different funders that, you know, Melissa said they started in 1976. We started in 1977. So in that time frame, people started trying to do better for people with disabilities and help people with disabilities to have a meaningful, most meaningful life that we could all, which is what I want, the most meaningful life that I can have. We want everybody to have a meaningful life. And that's not implying that, sometimes people say that and they think that you're implying that, oh, what do you mean? People don't have meaningful lives. No, it's just our desire, every person's desire is to have the most meaningful life possible. And I think that, you know, La Crosse was a leader in the end of when people were institutionalized. I think La Crosse is one of the leaders in putting an end to that. And I think, look, honestly, I think La Crosse is one of the better communities, and Wisconsin's one of the better states when it comes to working with people with disabilities. And that's what we're trying to do with Dan. We are trying to make people aware and to have action. And actually, the first thing that we've done is we have a Disability Action Network newsletter. And part of the reason for that is to help people to be aware of what's going on in the community and to be self-advocates.
Yeah, and Jimmy, you mentioned, Dan, the Disability Action Network. We've already kind of talked about, you know, what that network is, but, you know, can you really talk about how this push is different than previous, organizations or previous kind of plans to kind of help the community of people with disabilities?
I think the biggest difference with this push is that it's a big collaboration among many different agencies and funders and advocates and just the community in general, and the Human Rights Commission, just thank them for being on board. I think that's where the power is coming in with this Disability Action Network, is the collaboration among the many different organizations, and that we're not just gonna say that we did this project or something. It's action. Disability Action Network is what we're trying to have.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about local challenges for people with disabilities. You're here with Jimmy Westland, Outreach Specialist with Riverfront, Melissa Oliver, a network developer at CARE Wisconsin, and Fabio Burgos, a local lawyer and chair of the La Crosse Human Rights Commission. And Fabio, earlier you mentioned that, you know, as a lawyer, you sometimes kind of, you know, have experiences helping people with disabilities. You know, what were some of the challenges that when you're acting as guardian ad litem, you know, that you see and that, you know, could specifically be addressed?
I'd say the biggest challenge is 90% of the time is trying to get an individual in, and the legal standard is in the least restrictive placement consistent with their needs. Sometimes, unfortunately, that becomes a situation, as we've talked about, where the placement, the probably the best placement, the placement that affords an individual the most autonomy, the most freedom, the freedom that they deserve, whether they're under a guardianship or, and protected placement or not, is oftentimes, unfortunately, maybe a ways away from where their family might be or where other services might be. So I think, as we've talked about, what we can do is, at least what our commission can do to address that, is to ensure that the city of La Crosse is as one, open to and accessible, I should say, to people with disabilities, to shine a light on issues regarding transportation, and as we've talked about, to also see that any discrimination that exists with regard to access to housing for people with disabilities is addressed and brought to light. And one thing I might add is, and I think this was addressed by Melissa earlier, not only does the city ordinance prevents or prescribe discrimination with regard to the status of being disabled, but also source of income, and that is one cannot discriminate in terms of renting if someone's source of income happens to be a disability. So those are the kind of things that the commission can do.
Mm, absolutely. And, you know, another kind of housing issue, we've been talking about making sure that housing is both affordable and accessible, obviously is more of like a group home setting. And Jimmy, I know that you said Riverfront offers that, housing setting. Can you talk a little bit about what that looks like and, you know, what challenges or issues comes with that sort of housing?
Well, I'd say with that, we have two adult family homes here in La Crosse. There are four clients that live together. It's really their home, and our staff are going into it to support them. And that's basic. I mean, anything that anybody does, brush our teeth, take a shower, anything we do, a person with a disability in the group homes may just need a little bit of assistance. They may or may not need a little bit of assistance, but that's kind of the purpose of the adult family homes. And Riverfront is really hoping to have some more adult family homes. But as I said before, our Live By program is really the program that is taking off, where people can live independently on their own, but kind of have a person there to call if they need them, or somebody might take them to grocery shopping or doctor's appointments or things like that. I think that you said the challenge is we have more people than what we have places right now.
Mm-hmm. Is that a constraint with funding of not being able of, you know, I guess what is kind of holding Riverfront back from being able to introduce more of these settings?
I would say I don't know that we're being held back. I just think time. It's going to take time. It's not that. It's just that things don't happen overnight. It's just the process. So I wouldn't say that there's anything holding us back. Mm-hmm. But I would say that we just sometimes get impatient. We want things now because we want people to be able to be supported.
And is it the Live By? Is that what you...
Yes.
Yeah, the Live By program. You know, is that becoming more of a popular model in other communities?
It is. It's the newest. It's the greatest option because people can live independent but have that support. The person's on call for them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if they have, if they're boiling something and it starts overflowing and the person doesn't know how to handle that, they can call the person and they can come over and help them. So that's not like a emergency where you need to call the police or EMT, but you needed to call somebody, and then you're as independent as possible. I really think that program, you're going to see that take off here in the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Melissa, you know, we've been talking about how the Disability Action Network, you know, really wants to take active steps. Can you, you know, talk specifically about what, what some of those next steps might be for your organization?
For the Disability Action Network, based on the community conversation that we had last month, some of the key components that we've identified that we want to work towards are outreach and education. And that's through the newsletter that Jimmy had referenced, and that's through getting in front of different groups, talking about it, answering questions. We also have a website that you can... we don't have a website. Just kidding. We have a Facebook page, my apologies, and an email that you can, you know, like us on Facebook. You can email us any questions that you do have, and we can, you know, offer that. From the follow-up from that, we also have, you know, communication going out to a call to, who wants to help us with this stuff? Who wants to be an advocate for the group? Who wants to go with us and talk to these, to the community, and get that awareness out there and that education out there? We also are going to attempt to tackle transportation. Huge tackle, but we want to do it. We know it's a need, we know it's a concern, and we know it's an issue. What can we do to positively impact that? And that's our goal. So if we, you know, you get on our news, get our newsletter, sign up for that, you're going to be able to come and help us out with that and be part of the solution. Those are, I guess, our two biggest outreach or what our next steps are to the community conversation that we had.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, are you, you know, from that community conversation, you know, did you see participation of people who are more advocates or allies to this community?
Absolutely. We had a lot of advocates there. We had a lot of people with disabilities there. We had a lot of just really, really good feedback and conversation that evening about concerns, issues, conversations. We had a fill out the sheet of how you thought it went that evening. The number of people that left their name and number and said, call me. We want to be part of this. Call us. That shows they want to be involved and want to be an advocate. And that's what we need as a group, as a community, to come together to solve this.
And, you know, you've mentioned that, you know, the Disability Action Network is obviously a network of different providers. But Jimmy, can you maybe highlight specifically who is involved in this group?
Well, I don't want to miss anybody, but we do have different funding agencies. The funding agencies in this area are Care Wisconsin, IRIS, and Western Wisconsin Cares. Provider agencies are Riverfront, Lutheran Social Services, Goodwill, Catholic Charities, and there's more. And then we have the consumers and their advocates and different community organizations. Like I said, I don't want to miss anybody. If I miss anybody, I apologize. But that just kind of gives you an idea of the different groups that are in Dan. And you'll notice the best, we are all collaborating, but some of us are competitors, but we don't see ourselves that way. We are just collaborating. There's, like I said before, there's more people than there are group homes available. That doesn't just include Riverfront. That includes other places too. So we are trying to collaborate to do what's best for people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm. And we've mentioned that, you know, income is often a challenge for people with disabilities. On an organizational level, is funding an issue in Wisconsin for organizations hoping to address people with disabilities?
I think funding is always going to be an issue, no matter where you are. It's just the money being there. I think the majority of people in this field the reason they're in this field is because they want to do what's best for people with disabilities. It's just whether or not they have the resources financially to do that given to them. So I would say, I don't know the specifics, but I would say that in this field, funding is an issue, but I don't know. We have to find ways around it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's Jimmy Westland, outreach specialist with Riverfront, here with us today to talk about recent community conversations about accessibility for people with disabilities in La Crosse. Also joining our conversation is Fabio Burgos, chair of the La Crosse Human Rights Commission, and Melissa Oliver, network developer at CARE Wisconsin. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And so, Melissa, as someone who obviously works with people with disabilities on a day-to-day basis, I mean, what do you hope happens in the next 5 or 10 years, whether that's on a state level or a community level, to kind of help this community?
Our ultimate goal for the Disability Action Network is to have an inclusive, engaged community where we have connected resource system, we have accessible resources, and with impactful activities. That's our ultimate goal. What that looks like, we're still developing that. It shouldn't be, the labels aren't necessarily part of it. It's just we're all in a community. Let's all just be part of the community. That's our ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And do you think that there is still stigma that exists in our community, or just, in the broader sense, when it comes to people with disabilities?
Absolutely. If you live and breathe it every day, you don't notice it. The first time you see something, whether it be someone with autism, someone in a wheelchair, someone having a mental health crisis, all of those look very different people. And some people just have never seen it and don't react well, or don't react at all, or overreact to it. So that's why that educational piece is so important. There's stigma out there. The mental health crisis is, huge in the country. It's a very, very wide topic. And what does that look like? Dementia is also a very large component out there of what's going on with the dementia community and how do we help people? I mean, it's all over. It's every aspect, every spectrum, there's so many different types that we had, types of disability as we had mentioned previously in this conversation, and to address them all is a huge undertaking. But what can we do today in our community to address our concerns and the people in the community's concerns? And that's what we're really targeting.
Mm-hmm. And Jimmy, how often do you feel like people might fall through the cracks when it comes to trying to navigate the often complicated system?
I would say there's a good chance that would happen often. I think that's part of the reason for the Disability Action Network. We don't want people to fall through the cracks. We want less and less people to fall through the cracks. And we want to be, the ADRC is a Aging and Disability Resource Center, is a place where people can go, but we want the Disability Action Network to also be a resource for people to not fall through the cracks and just feel and be supported, not feel supported, but be supported.
Mm-hmm. And I would pose the same question to you that I asked to Melissa. What is really in the next, 5 or 10 years in the future, gap are you hoping is filled or issue that is addressed?
I think the biggest thing is education through speaking to civic organizations and schools at all different levels and helping people to realize that people are people. And to take the fears away. I think a lot of people, the lack of education makes people scared of sometimes. And it's just to be blunt, it's just a lack of education, not understanding that people are people and we all have some type of abilities or disabilities, both. I really would like to see that just to continue that education. Just I think things like this, talking on this show, are very important to keep this topic at the forefront. Hopefully we can get more employees. We have a lot of good employers when it comes to employment in this town. But hopefully we can get more companies that are employing people with disabilities, because it's a win-win for the company and for the person.
We've been talking with Jimmy Westland, Community Outreach Specialist with Riverfront, Melissa Oliver, Network Developer at CARE Wisconsin, and Fabio Burgos, a local lawyer and chair of the La Crosse Human Rights Commission, about issues for people with disabilities in La Crosse. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. John Gatto is the executive producer for Newsmakers. John Davis is our senior news editor and producer. And Matt Clark is our 2016 Newsmakers intern. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to some of the services and programs we talked about today. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.